It's going to be an explosive show today. It's the news, according to me. Hey, it is July, still July, it's the middle of July, and it's hot out there. It's hot. July 16th, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's late. I'm getting started late here, actually. I have, I forgot to spool up the old podcast machine, make sure it's working here. I think it's working. Should be working. Apparently lost some power here over the weekend, which causes some issues. Now that it's working. We have, I'll shut this thing off. It's just getting too loud. That's too much. It's just too much. Enough with the music stuff. Not everybody wants to hear that. I mean, some people do. There we go. You want to hear me, don't you? Don't you? Okay, anyway, is that a question? We got a whole lot of things going on. Apparently there's some kind of microbe that's out there floating around disturbing people's bowels, their gut. It's causing a lot of problems. Apparently it's become a thing here in this country. It's and of course it has to come through vegetables. That's, you know, of course not all diseases come through vegetables. That there's been plenty of chicken issues and pig issues and pork and beef and all kinds. This stuff can come through anything that's processed, and basically anything if it's not processed. You know, I used to eat food out of the garden, fresh out of the range, right out of the garden. I remember when I was a kid, we'd just go pick some beans, just eat them. Peas, just eat the peas right out of there. Corn, we'd just eat corn raw, right out of the, you know, sweet corn. Crazy. It's crazy. You're nuts. First of all, you don't stop and think about the fact that birds are out there pooping on everything. And you don't think about that. You know, bugs are crawling around on everything. They may not be out there at the moment, but they were there probably. You know, fresh out of the garden. Can't get any more healthy than that, right? Might want to think about washing it off first, just saying. Not that, you know, I mean, I made it this far. It didn't kill me yet. Anyway, you gotta be kind of careful about what you eat. It's just hopefully the people who are preparing your food are being careful. That's the other thing. You gotta trust people to, you know. That's the thing. When you do it yourself, you can kind of trust. It's kind of like socialism, you know. Trust somebody else to take care of your life. Or you can take care of yourself. And we have rugged individualism that they apparently is so evil. Apparently, that's just embrace the warmth of the wide road, as they call it. Don't go down that straight and narrow road over there. Go down this nice wide curvy road, where it's just comfortable. It's easy. Just be who you are, who God made you to be. Right? He made you the way you are, and He's just so happy with the way you are. Yeah, because you didn't. We're not even gonna get into that today. Well, it is Theological Thursday, isn't it? We may get into that. I have. We'll see what the bots have planned for us today. They may not have anything planned. I tried an experiment today. We're gonna see how this works out. I set up the bots on a different computer. I actually put all the information in, copied and pasted all the questions for the day in there. And then I signed into that in a different computer to do it. And I'm going to pull up on this computer. I'm going to pull up the Google Chrome app here with the podcastcaller.com. And I've got them on. I'm online here with this thing. Let's see how it's going to work today. I don't see what it's going to do. But there's a few things that need to be fixed on this thing. Everything works. It's just things have to be enhanced a little bit with regard to the way the bots interact and the options that you're going to have as you know, if you want to be work a podcast caller. Anyway, we're getting there. That's going to be done this weekend. I'm hoping, because I guess we've got a little bit of time. Hopefully I can probably have to work into the midnight hours, but nonetheless, I'll be able to do it. It's got to get finished. What was I talking about? In my cup, I have this extremely large cup of chai. It's the cup I usually put my iced tea in. So it's a little bit larger than just a regular coffee cup, but it's insulated. It's my hot chai. And I've had a lot going on this morning. I'm trying to figure out that my wife's car is the screen, the information system screen has stopped. It's just completely gone dead, and as well as the whole center instrument cluster, basically. There's a CD in there, but it won't come out. Won't play anything, won't play any music, won't play radios, won't do anything. And then, you know, the map display basically is what controls all that. It's gone out. I can't find there's got to be a blown fuse somewhere. I just can't find anything that's blown. Can't find any power issues. So I don't know. We'll just have to see what happens with it. I don't know. If I disconnect the battery, maybe reconnect it. Sometimes it's kind of a reset works, but I don't know. I unplugged all the fuses that were connected to it, and it didn't seem to matter. So I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's not the display itself. It's probably a wire somewhere, a power supply going somewhere, ground wire probably came loose, something. In the meantime, anyway, in my backup cup here, I've got some leftover Chick-fil-A sweet tea from yesterday. I got Chick-fil-A sweet tea yesterday. There happens to be I got a large, but this doesn't seem like a large. It was in Baltimore at the airport. It was at Boston, at the airport in Boston. And I had to go over from Terminal B to Terminal A to get this. I think it was Terminal A. Yeah, Terminal A. And I asked for a large one, and it didn't look like a large to me. It looks like a regular size. Maybe they don't have large, and she just came. I asked for a large, so hopefully I didn't pay for a large. I don't know. Guy I was with also, he had a large as well, and it's the same size, and wasn't too happy about it. But anyway, you know, I stopped into on the way home, I stopped into a Culver's yesterday, and all I wanted to get was just a chocolate shake. I was kind of trying to get something on the way home. I had a pretty good sized lunch. I had lunch at Chick-fil-A, and it was fairly large. But it was getting late in the day, and I wasn't hungry, but I just wanted something to just kind of get me through the rest of the drive, because I've been through a lot of traffic. I think it took me almost 3.5 hours to get home yesterday. It usually takes me 2. Lots of traffic. Anyway, pulled into this Culver's, and I ordered this thing, and the guy who took my order was a little bit strange. He seemed like a normal kid. He was just kind of a weird attitude. So anyway, I ordered it, chocolate shake with bananas and strawberries in it, which was basically custard, chocolate custard. Went around the corner, and they put this little sticker on your rearview mirror, so they can tell who you are. I think it was like number 115 or whatever. So I go around the corner, drive over there, and I stop and I wait. This lady in front of me. We're both there, and everybody's there for a long time. And all of a sudden, they start, you know, people who were behind me, they start bringing their food out and giving their food, and everybody's getting their food. Well, this lady in front of me, she goes inside, and she comes out with her little cup of whatever it was. It was like a fruity ice cream drink type thing. And then she drives off. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, maybe we're having problems here, and maybe I need to go inside as well. So I set the timer on my watch. I was going to go inside. So I was going to give him 5 more minutes. So I think I'd been there about 20 minutes. And everybody that was in line is gone, and everybody that was behind me is gone. There were no more cars that were in front of me that were still there. And most of the cars that were behind me were still, other than the ones that were just then pulling up. This lady pulled away, and I was still kind of sitting there, and this guy comes by, and he hands out some food, and he asks me to drive forward. He goes, can you please pull forward? And I said, I've been waiting here an awfully long time just for a chocolate milkshake. He goes, that's all you got was a milkshake? I said, yeah, that's all I got was a milkshake. So I pulled all the way around the rest of the corner there. He said, he ran in and got it, and he came back out, and he saw, I was pretty upset, actually, about it. And he came out, and and he was, I didn't yell at him or anything. I don't do that, but I let him know I wasn't happy about it. And he came around and he explained everything to me, explained what happened and what was going on. Apparently the person in the booth back there that took my money and took the order was not aware that he had to put down that it was ice cream only, because it was sitting there thinking that it was waiting for the rest of the order. So there's an issue there that I think that Culver's has. It's at least that Culver's in their systematic way of doing things. They kind of screwed up. But I have to say, this is the one thing I told him I appreciated his explanation, and I appreciated the fact that he was willing to take the time to, and he apologized. Which, you know, a lot of employees now will not apologize for the place that they work on their behalf. They will not do that. He took responsibility for it. He apologized, and he said he was sorry, and he explained the whole thing. He said he explained to me what happened. I said, you know, I greatly appreciate you taking the time to tell me that. I appreciate the explanation, and I appreciate the apology. I wish I would have gotten his name. I would like to call the Culvers in that town, it's the only Culvers in that town, and tell the manager or the owner or somebody that he actually, you know, he even though I was upset about the order, I was seriously considering never going back there again at that Culvers. I'd had some problems with him before, something else, it was totally different, but it was or something actually from the inside had some issues with him there one time. But that was a worker issue. It wasn't the Culvers itself. So I don't know if it's a training issue there that they've got going on or whatever it is, but this kid was actually on the up and up. He was actually, you know, he was a young kid. I think he needs to have, you know, so I hopefully I encouraged him. Hopefully I didn't discourage him from working with the public. It's because I was a little bit grumpy at first. Anyway, he did good, and I'd like to somehow give him some kudos with his manager. But of course, maybe that was the first time he ever did anything right. He's probably the worst employee. I don't know. No, and it wasn't his fault. It was the other kid's fault that screwed up. It wasn't his fault. He's willing to take it, you know, kind of take it for that. But anyway, so now you know what I've got here. I've got this cup. So that's what, you know. Fast food places just aren't quite. Even the good ones, it seems like sometimes you run into some stuff that's some issues, which is what happened there. Anyway, so there we are. We have that going on. I'm going to play this. I think I'm going to start from the. I'm not going to play a short one. I'm going to play. We'll play the other one. I'm going to play this one. I don't think this is the one I usually play when I'm on. We'll see what it is. I don't know. If it is, I might just turn it around and change something else. Right after this little disclaimer, we're going to play here. We get this thing going on. We'll see how it goes.
Welcome to the news, according to me. Pull up a chair, I'll share what I believe. I've done my reading, I've got thoughts or two. But I'm not your doctor, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer. I'm definitely not your financial advisor. These are my opinions, not the gospel truth. Entertainment only, baby. That's the news. The news according to me and me alone. Now let's get started. Ooh. Welcome to the show.
Here we are. I don't know if that's the one I usually play on the. I don't think it is. I think I play a short one now when I'm out on the road. So, I mean, I'm in the home studio this morning down in the basement where it's cold. I'm actually wearing a jacket and long pants because it's cold down here, but it's hot everywhere else. I think it's supposed to be up in the 90s again today. I'm not exactly sure. I think it's 87 right now. It's probably going to get up in the 90s. It's very humid. I guess Canada is on fire again. And as I was going into Boston yesterday, I started smelling smoke on the plane. And looked outside. It was really weird. You can tell when you look outside. I've done enough traveling. You look outside, you can see the sky turns a weird color when you're up there with the sun shining on it. It turns this. It's not like a cloud cover type thing. It's almost a greenish brown kind of color that the sky turns when the sun's shining through this stuff, and it's. Very weird because it's not a cloud. It's just a haze. It's kind of a weird haze with all kinds of particles in it, which, you know, I'm sure is great for the environment. It's great. You know, they're doing all these wonderful things. They're letting the trees grow up there. They just can't cut anything down. So that's what we have to do. It's because we have a housing shortage. Can't afford houses because their trees are short. It's just... I don't even start with all the policies, all the crazy stuff that they're wackadoodle stuff. We have because it's Theological Thursday. It's a different kind of story. We have a different kind of shtick. We're going to start off with our historian this morning, Elena. I'm going to start off with her, see what she has to say. Anyway, yeah, Canada's on fire. There you go. That's all I'm going to say about that. Let's see what Elena has to say. Let's just jump right into it. Go right into this whole thing.
Good afternoon, Kevin.
Well, yes, good afternoon.
With all the news about Connecticut barring nativity displays in the state capitol and calling them too religious, I'm reminded of how the founders actually displayed religious symbols in government buildings. Can you connect this current censorship trend to what happened during the French Revolution when they tried to de-Christianize public spaces? History shows us where this path leads.
Yeah, I don't know. I was looking at the transcript of things I was saying here a little bit earlier, because Theological Thursday, it's a different kind of story. We have different kind of, yeah, I didn't say that. Why does this thing put cuss words in here anyway? So anyway, I'm not, hopefully she doesn't pick, she's going to have to make a comment about that now. But anything I say from the point where I started this conversation, she always says, I feel like she has to comment on it. I was unaware of this. This is, I guess we're talking state capital in, which state, I guess? Oh, Connecticut. This kind of thing has happened before. It happens occasionally with different states. And they kind of go through this. You'll see it a lot of times down the Bible Belt, down in Arkansas and Mississippi and Alabama. You'll see Tennessee, wherever it is. They'll have the Ten Commandments out, and they'll go out of this whole thing, and it all becomes this big issue, and Some ne'er-do-well gets in there and decides they're going to, disallow certain things. You know, Congress paid money. They took congressional money to print a congressional Bible. The Christian Bible was printed, paid for by the Congress. Money. While the founders were still alive. So if the founders who were so, this whole thing about, separation of church and state, we have a system that should be separation from, it's not freedom from religion, it's freedom of religion. It's the government should be supporting and protecting your right to certain religious activities, not preventing them. And there's a point where it's a slippery slope when it comes to, public land. What can be allowed, what can be, what should be done. It's really up to the community. It's really up to Connecticut themselves. You can't have these lawyers stepping in there and making these rulings. If the community wants it, then go ahead with it. If it's not offensive and it's not a problem for anybody, it's not going to cause anybody to stumble or interfere or interject in anyone else's rights. That's the whole key. That's the key to protecting people's rights. It's you have the right to say things and do things as long as they don't interfere with someone else's right. That's the whole point of liberty and self-rule and self-government. So it's kind of a sticky wicket if we try to just centralize that and say, this one thing has to apply to all because because who's going to be the moral police on that? So it's kind of a difficult situation. However, it's the same at the same time. I don't know. Sticky wicket apparently is a Chicago-style pizza. Or something, I guess, some kind of a food. No, it's a drum solo. I don't know.
You're touching on something historians see over and over. The tension between centralized authority deciding what's acceptable and communities governing themselves. And yes, you're right that Congress literally funded Bibles in the early Republic, which completely undermines the strict separation argument that gets invoked today.
Yeah, yeah.
The real sticky wicket, as you said, isn't whether religion belongs in public spaces. It's who gets to decide, and that's where we've let lawyers and distant courts replace the judgment of actual communities who have to live with these choices.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad. And I was thinking about this the other day. No matter when any kind of lawsuit you get into, I know I'm sure we got a lot of lawyers out there listening to this show. There's probably lots of them because I'm sure they're waiting for an opportunity to sue me. But I think that we run into this issue of in this country. When it comes to litigation, and when it comes especially civil suits, the only people that really ever make out anything at all are the lawyers. The lawyers always – doesn't matter if they're on the offense or defensive side. Typically, they're the ones who win. They're the ones who make the money. that even if you're, you know, if you get a settlement, they'll, but especially when it comes to class action lawsuits, they just take a huge fund. That's a big chunk of change for them. It's a big deal. But let's go to Skip. Let's just jump right through some things here. I want to talk about some other things as well, but we'll just keep on running right through these boogers.
Kevin, so, my man.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Yeah, okay.
Arkansas ranks number one for religious liberty, but Governor Sanders warns about lack of community being the real threat. Isn't that just politicians deflecting from actual policy failures? How does ranking top in religious freedom square with community breakdown if faith is supposedly so strong there?
Well, here again, we get into this. There's an issue. It's a weird thing. It's so, I guess, who's ranking? The question is, who's doing the ranking of you know, number one for religious liberty? But the you know, but Governor Sanders. Now, I'm curious about this Governor Sanders. Is he related to Colonel Sanders? Arkansas is known for its chicken factories. Its chicken industry has a lot of chickens down there. They raise a lot of chickens. And it's kind of interesting place where interesting guy who would fall into the governorship of Arkansas with the last name of Sanders. That's kind of, I'd say it's questionable. Is he related to, is he like a descendant of Colonel Sanders? And was he really a colonel? I don't know. Well, the kind of, a, you know, all the mystery of Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken. I would think he would be from Kentucky. But, so I'm not sure exactly, but it is kind of an interesting connection that I'm making. I'm connecting some dots there. lack of community. It's weird that they're saying lack of community is a real threat when community is what church is all about. It's the supposedly an institutional area, you know, a collective group like that is a voluntary collective group. They're a big thing. Now, online, you know, churches obviously are not, you know, I would say it's a virtual community, but it's not really, you're not really in a community at that point. It's kind of like Facebook. You're really not, you know, not involved in anybody's life in Facebook. It's kind of a very different situation. Sorry for all these background. I'm getting a lot of email all of a sudden. This time of day, I just get a lot of email. So yeah, it's kind of a weird thing. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how to respond to it. Maybe you can kind of carry on. We'll see what else you have to say about this. Maybe we might be able to carry on this conversation for a while. I don't know.
Now hold on. Stop you there.
Okay.
Governor Sanders and Colonel Sanders aren't related. That's just coincidence. And yeah, the Colonel was a real Colonel. His title from Kentucky's governor back in the day.
Really?
Here's
I didn't
what
know
gets
that.
Me. You're dead right that online churches aren't community in any real sense. You can't share a meal with pixels. You can't know your neighbor's struggles through a screen the way you do sitting in a pew next to them.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. That's a good point. I did not know. Colonel Sanders was a real colonel. I guess that's, that's interesting stuff. I'm glad you filled me in on that. That was very insightful of you, actually. I'm kind of impressed, actually, there, Artie. It's kind of very helpful. But it's interesting that the governor would, what was it you said? It keeps going on. Every time I talk, it wants to move back. Policy failures. I think that we are dealing with, you know, governmental stuff that when government wants to get involved in community engineering, I call it. I think that they do fall short every time. They can't. Government just can't make people, you know, force people into relationships or you know, associations with each other. It just doesn't happen that way. Either there are technical, you know, things that bring us together, you know, financial, you know, whatever it is, a club, interests, you know, common interests, common relatives, whatever it is that we have in common, it's what kind of draws us together. And you can't do that. You just can't force that into being. And I think that's what government tries to do sometimes. And then you know, puts the shame on you if you don't comply with their particular status quo of what they think that you should do. I'm just gonna leave it there.
You hit the nail on the head. Government can't legislate community, and every time they try to engineer it, people see right through it. real community grows from what actually matters to folks. Shared faith, shared interests, shared meals. Not from some top-down mandate that makes you feel guilty if you don't comply.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, we kind of, you know, we're just kind of rehashing the same thing now. But the, yeah, and the main point there is just, you know, government needs to just keep its nose, just shut up and do your, you know, spend, make sure you're spending the tax dollars on things. They're finding ghost employees now. And I can't remember where the state is. They found over 3,000 and they're going to eliminate those next year. Eliminate them now. Spending hundreds of millions of dollars on tax dollars on these employees that don't exist in some of these blue states. They just have these fund these programs, claim that they're hiring people to do something, and they don't have anybody. There's nobody there. There's just like it was a 20. I don't remember what the deal was, but it was a whole lot of people that apparently they're not there. They're ghost employees. They don't show up for work. Don't know who they are. Just they're getting a paycheck and don't know where the check's going. Yeah. Anyway, did we talk to Elena? I don't know if we talked to Elena. I don't think we did. I think we talked to Artie and Skip. Or no, we did. We talked to Skip and we did talk to Elena. We haven't talked to Artie yet. Let's talk to Chloe. Let's see what Chloe has to say. She's always got that left brain thing going on. We'll see what happens.
Kevin,
yes.
Did you see that Pastor Greg Locke's house got raided by federal agents? Like
Greg Locke's.
This is giving major persecution vibes. He says they have nothing to hide, but honestly, this feels like they're targeting conservative pastors who speak out. What's your take? Is this the beginning of something way bigger happening to outspoken Christian leaders?
I don't know who that guy is. This name sounds familiar to me, but I don't know who it is. I got the auto detection thing on. I just put in the thing to search, and it didn't come up with anything. Track a topic. Let's put in Greg Locke. I'm just gonna go over to Google. Just do it that way. It's a little easier to do it there. Greg Locke's. Rated. I'll just put that in there. There it is right there. It just popped up. Oh, this guy. Pastor Greg Locke. Lockie, whatever his name is. Says we have nothing to hide after feds raid home. Wilson County. Pastor says he has nothing to hide after they raid his home. MAGA pastor. Greg Locke. 60 federal agents raided his home over church finances. Pastor Greg Locke claims federally. Let's see what the Religion News Service article has to say. We're just going to read through this a little bit. This guy looks familiar. I think this is the guy that got in some trouble here recently. This is the guy, I'm pretty sure, who came out and was making accusations against some people. And there's a guy by the name of Mike Wenger, who I don't really care for his ministry. I don't like it when somebody sets up an entire ministry that revolves around being the church detective, finding out, just going after other people and their biblical beliefs. There's a lady that is a worship leader, apparently, who analyzes songs and analyzes worship leaders and songs and all kinds of things in the modern Christian movement and modern songs. I'd like to send her some of my songs and see what she thinks of them, because she makes some statements sometimes. She's very critical of these songs, and not necessarily biblically critical, just she has these ideas of what worship songs should be about. And I don't know if I don't think that my songs would fall into her categories of being, you know, wrong, bad songs or anything, but I don't know. I'd be interested in sending her my songs just to see what she thinks of them. Of course, she probably wouldn't review them online because they're not popular songs. Nobody knows who they are, but so she probably wouldn't. I mean, she likes to go after stuff like, you know, like Hillsong and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of but this guy, I'm pretty sure he came out with all kinds of accusations about, he was making accusations about some people that I don't necessarily like. However, nonetheless, you can't just make, you know, false allegations against somebody and, You go crazy with it. So I'm just whether you like him or not, or whether you agree with their theology or not. during a service at Global Vision Bible Church, during a service that they raided his home. So they probably did it when he wasn't even there. Tennessee pastor has claimed federal officials broke down his door and raided his house after former members of his church accused him of financial impropriety. Oh, so he's got actual church members. The Reverend Greg Locke, pastor of Global Vision Bible Church in Lebanon, Tennessee, said that he was lying in bed about 3 weeks ago and heard a knock at the door. So he was there. He was home. Outside, he said about 60 federal agents had surrounded his house for an early morning raid. By the time I got my robe on, got out of the bedroom, a team of federal agents had batter-rammed our front door. That's the quotations that are there. Locke told church members during a service on Sunday, July 12th, which is just this last week. So we had, in riot gear, they had me on the ground. I was screaming. Why would you be screaming? I've got kids in the house. Don't shoot, don't shoot. Well, okay, I understand that, but at the same time, Locke claimed federal agents told him they were there because of reports of misappropriated funds. You know, I don't know when it's, if there was one thing where there's, you know, a situation where there was kids kidnapped in the basement or even drug activity, or there was, you know, a large number of guns in the house, misappropriated funds is not a reason to raid someone's house at gunpoint. This bothers me. This is like, just like the raid that they conducted on Trump. This is the same kind of thing. That's why this bothers me. It's when they do this kind of stuff. He said that agents had search warrants for his home and a church building. Those agents he alleged took his cell phone and computers and bank records. It's not clear which federal agency raided Locke's home. I'm not even telling you what three-letter agency it was, he told church members. Now, this may be an attempt to get some of the heat off his back from the things he said in the past, but we'll see what that. Tennessee preacher Greg Locke says demons told him names of witches in his church. So he's having conversations with demons, I guess. The Tennessean newspaper reported that the IRS and not the FBI was involved in the raid. Why, first of all, why would demons tell him that? And why is he communicating with them? Why is he having, he's just sitting down for tea with these demons? Or what's... Locke claimed it happened 3 weeks into a six-week sabbatical he had taken from following the death of his son in May. I'm sorry to hear that. A spokesman for the Wilson County Sheriff's Office said it had no records on an investigation into Locke or Global Vision Bible Church. So it wasn't the sheriff's office. That's interesting. I think the sheriff's, you know, that's the one thing about, I got to say this, the county that I'm in, and basically the northern part of the state that I'm in, most of the county sheriffs are kind of on board with the idea. They will not allow feds into our county without approval. You just can't do it. It doesn't matter what you are, what federal agency you're from. You can't just come in and do what you want. You have to have permission from a county officer, from the county sheriff. They have to be informed. They have to be informed of what's going on. They have to understand the case. You have to explain the case to the county sheriff and then they'll allow them in. Two former pastors of Global Vision resigned last year, alleging spiritual abuse and financial mismanagement at the church, according to the Roy's Report, a Christian watchdog site. Locke said allegations on a webpage, had led to the raid, but did not give any detail. The subdued announcement was out of character for the firebrand pastor who has used social media to build a national following. His posts on everything from witchcraft and stolen elections to Christian nationalism and bathroom policies at Target in the past. In recent years, he has pivoted from political MAGA sermons to what he has called deliverance ministry, which claims to cast out demons. He might have been the guy. He also runs a media company and held a revival recently with Sean Foyt. Now, Sean, he'll go out and sing with anybody. That's just part of the nature of, unfortunately, you get involved in doing any kind of ministry, you get invited, you just do it, and you don't realize what's going on with, you know, what the underpinning things are. And I appreciate Sean Foyt, by the way, an activist who runs patriotic worship protests. Worship protests, I don't know. It's basically, they just want to, they worship. The whole thing is called Let Us Worship, and it's just kind of a freedom type thing. But Locke made no mention of the raid until this past week. So it's interesting. There's more here to read, but it's... he's talking about... He goes on to talk about... Yeah, I'm pretty sure this guy might be the guy who was... he looks a little different now, but that was several years ago. I may have been in a meeting where he actually was actually preaching. And there were people who were supposedly getting delivered from stuff. And I, in the meeting, I didn't really feel like that was what was happening. But I don't know. There were people who were counselors and people who were. It's kind of interesting stuff. Anyway, having said all that, where's I at? Where's my? There it is. We can go back to some of this other stuff. We have, who else is there? That was Skip. Who was that? It was Chloe. I forgot to include Chloe into the whole conversation. Chloe went on about this whole thing. So that's my take. I know I talked a lot there. You probably have a lot to pick up on, maybe. I don't know. But, keep thinking about it.
Oh my God, no worries. I've been listening the whole time. So like, this whole situation with the church raid and the deliverance ministry thing is honestly giving cult energy to me, especially with how the pastor pivoted from MAGA content to casting out demons. That's such a specific rebrand, and it's low-key sus. The part about him doing revival events with Sean Ford and just saying Foyt. Yes to collabs without Foyt. Knowing what's happening underneath.
What was the question? It collapsed. Did she say something about Sean? She said Sean Ford would kind of throw me off. Well, you just go wherever you're invited. I have sung, led worship in churches where there's probably theological issues with some of the things they believe. That probably has happened. Where, you know, there's probably about 300 million different ideas of faith here in this country alone. You've got two different people. You got two different experiences and two different perspectives and paradigms on what's, you know, you can read the same scripture verse and have two different ideas about something. So it's kind of a, you just have to kind of understand that some of the differences we have with each other. The more we get closer to the truth, though, the more it brings us together, the more unity there is. So there's only one truth, real truth. It's not my truth or your truth. It's, you know, everything's tainted through everything we see. But just because that's the way we are, we see through a glass dimly. We have a lot going on with all that. Anyway, that's all I'm going to go. Who else? I don't think I've talked to Artie. I can't remember what Artie had to say here. Let's go back.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey.
Great show as always.
Oh, of course.
I've been digging into the technical details
Great.
Of Todd Blanche's confirmation hearing yesterday for
Todd
Attorney
Blanche.
General. What specific legal frameworks did he reference regarding religious liberty protections, and how does his judicial philosophy compare to previous AGs on First Amendment cases?
Well, I didn't hear it. I was busy. I was basically in the air almost all day. I was either in the air or in the car, and I didn't get a chance to really pay much attention to what was going on with his hearings. You kind of caught me off guard on that one. I don't know. Todd Blanche, he's... My guess is this is a guy I've never really heard of, and I don't know. Let's see if I can find. I can just type that into. Just do another search here. Todd Blanche. Let's see what we get here. Blanche. Let's just go with that. Oh, this guy. He looks familiar. He's been in the news. This is the guy I think that has kind of a checkered past. If I'm not mistaken, Todd Blanche faces questions over Epstein files and Senate kind of confirmation. And key GOP senator says Todd Blanche needs to meet with Epstein victims before winning his support. apparently he was in the Epstein files. Of course, now here's, of course, then you've got Adam Schiff, the conscience of the country. Todd Blanche roasts Adam Schiff in heating. Well, we might want to hear this. Actually, let's see if we can play this. I don't know what the, we might want to actually be able to, what is that? I'm not going to sign into that. Well, all of a sudden I got a thing here. Let's see if we can play it without signing in. It's just a, it's a.
Tired of living in your inbox?
No, this is just an advertisement, of course. Skip the advertisement in 3 seconds, and it's skipped.
Did you consult with Joseph Terrell, a senior ethics lawyer at the department?
I believe I met with Mr. Terrell, yes.
Did Mr. Terrell tell you that ethics laws and policies required that you not be involved in cases involving your prior and representation of the president?
Yes.
So in those three matters, the hush money payment case, January 6th case, Mar-a-Lago case, you were to recuse yourself?
I'm recused, correct. Well, by the way, the cases are not ongoing, Senator, but to the extent there's any work around those cases, yes, I'm recused.
So you said to CPAC a couple months ago, the other things that are happening, there is not a single man or woman at the Department of Justice who had anything to do with those prosecutions, meaning the prosecution of the president. So you're saying that it's not a conflict of interest for you to be involved in the firing of prosecutors who prosecuted your client, your former client? There's no conflict there? Is that
no, there is. I wasn't involved.
So
that would be a conflict.
At CPAC, you're taking credit for the firing of these Department of Justice lawyers, but you're not willing to take responsibility before this committee. Is that the case?
No.
Okay.
I'm making,
You were bragging about this at CPAC, the firing of these prosecutors, the firing of the FBI agents, the getting rid of everyone.
I listened to this guy. He's got this smirk on his face like he's got this guy. Adam Schiff. I don't know what to say about the guy. I'm amazed. Of course, now Democrats, they win their elections. We're finding out now how and why they win their elections. There's more. There's supposed to be a speech tonight. The president's supposed to make a speech tonight. Apparently, there's even some Democrats that are coming out and saying if they pass this bill, Democrats will never win another election. They're that afraid of this bill. After we've seen what happened out in California, it's very strange that they say, well, Democrats vote by mail more than any other candidate. The party votes more by mail than they do in person. Okay, so then Karen Bass and the other opponent should have come up with about an equal number of votes. I mean, Karen Bass was farther ahead anyway. So as far as the Democrat, why would they? They didn't say only voters for this other lady voted by mail, which they did. It's disproportionately so to the point where she's almost caught up with Karen Bass. She outdid the number two person who was a Republican on election day and came back with 43,000 votes, which is exactly what she needed to pass him up. It was within just a couple thousand votes. And disproportionately, Karen Bass got almost none of those. Why would she not be? So if Karen Bass was so popular that she won the biggest part of the vote on election day, but didn't win a proportionate number on. Now, the problem they're going to run into here is that Karen Bass better be careful with all this. Obviously, she didn't want to run against the guy, but at the same time, they got a machine going here, apparently, with this other lady, and she could possibly win the general election against Karen Bass because she's got all these extra votes coming in. This is how they're working now. This is how Adam Schiff stays in in his little cocoon there. That's what, how he keeps it going. I think I was all done with all the. Am I still are they still listening? Oh yeah, this is Artie. Yeah. So I don't know. I really don't know that much about this guy. I know he's got kind of a checkered past, and maybe you can fill me in more on what's going on there, Artie. Sorry, I kind of ignored you there for a little bit. A lot to chew on there. I'll take a sip of chai. You can think about it.
Look, technically speaking, the mail-in ballot patterns you're describing don't actually indicate fraud.
No, of course not.
That's just how vote counting works in California.
Oh, yeah, that's just how it works.
Where
mail
ballots are counted after Election Day votes and tend to skew differently
by district,
depending on
who lives where.
Yeah, that's how it works in California,
because it's a bad system, is why.
What you're seeing with Karen Bass is basic demographics. Different neighborhoods vote different ways.
Oh, my gosh.
And mail-in
voters
in some areas genuinely lean toward different candidates than Election Day voters in others.
Come on, Artie.
The real question isn't why Bass didn't get proportional mail votes. It's whether the total vote totals are accurate, which election officials verify through audits.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't seen credible evidence they weren't.
Well, you don't have any eyes. You can't see anything. You're a machine, and pretty much everything this is one of those deals where I can't stand this kind of crap. It's just, they call it, all you get back is, there's no credible evidence. It's because there's different places. It's all the talking points all the things that they throw out there to defend themselves. And it just reeks of some kind of a. It just stinks to high heaven. I don't know how else to say it. It's just to say there's nothing to see here. We just don't have no credible evidence. We can't make any accusations. Can't make any allegations. Oh, because it's just not possible. Well, that's fine. If you don't feel like it's possible, you don't feel like you want to make it. It's fine. Whatever. Stick your head in the sand. Just keep, but at the same time, Democrats will come out in a free and fair election, and they're accusing Trump of cheating on the election. He's cheating. He's never going to leave. He's never going to leave the White House. He's building. The latest one is he's building this ballroom, because that's going to be his. He's going to hunker down there with his troops, and they're never going to leave the White House. He's got a bunker underneath the ballroom where he can hide everything, and they can never leave the White House because he's going to stay there forever. We've lost our republic because Donald Trump's not going to ever. It's just the craziness of these people. There's no end to it. And, of course, they get on and they flood the internet with stuff. And then, of course, that's the AI picks all that stuff up. And it's just a bunch of baloney. But, yeah. So there you go, folks. That's the, yeah. Anyway, having said all that, interesting stuff. This kind of stuff. Let's go back to.
You investigated your client. You were proud of that. Speaking for the Department of Justice, but you don't think that's a conflict of interest. You moved to vacate, I don't think you're going to deny involvement in this, you moved to vacate the convictions of 12 Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, which erased their convictions, restored their gun rights. These people were convicted in the January 6th investigation.
That's what a defense attorney does, by the
way. Involved the president, who you represented.
He was doing his
job. You were involved in dismissing those cases, were you not?
I'm the acting attorney general. So yes, my department moved to dismiss. I was not
so involved. You didn't recuse yourself from that matter.
So Adam, tell me, are you saying that they're guilty and that they have no? What are you saying, Adam? You're saying that you're the one who has the moral standard here. You're saying they should be in prison, and he's saying they shouldn't be. That's all it is. That's all it is right there. It's nothing more, nothing less. You just don't like the idea. Conflict of interest. Oh, it's a conflict. I'll tell you what's a conflict of interest. Adam Schiff, he's a conflict of interest. This guy who lied to the American people for 4 years about Russia, Russia, Russia. And yet he stands there with a smug look on his face like he's above it all.
You're willing?
No, there's no reason to, from the Proud Boys matter?
Yes, I mean, it was.
Lawyer,
it
you
was,
know the rules. It there are the, rules to say it, when
yes,
I have to
there
be
are
recused,
rules.
And that's not one of them.
And there are rules. And when you're told to recuse yourself from investigations that you
do.
Handle for the president, you're supposed to recuse yourself.
No, when
so
I represented
you have
the
also,
president.
You have also said.
Oh, my gosh.
You've also refused to release Volume 2 of the Special Counsel's report. That was an investigation into the Mar-a-Lago documents case. How is that not an abundant conflict of interest? Refusing to release to the public an investigative report of an investigation into your client.
I am not a judge, a federal judge.
No. The department's position under you, Mr. Blanche, was do not release the report.
So that position.
If you went into court asking them to release it, it would be released by now.
So how is
that not a patent conflict of interest?
What you're saying happens to not be true. I did not do that. What you're talking about happened before
I came to that.
I'm going to play this faster. Just because.
I don't, but I'm recused and had nothing to do with that case.
I'll play it faster.
You can't
make them sound
me
smarter.
My ethical rules and then lie about what I did.
So you had nothing to do with the decision to prohibit the release of the report. You had nothing to do with the department's
position. I wasn't in court.
No, I'm not asking whether you were in court. I'm asking you whether anyone sought your opinion or used your guidance in refusing to release Volume 2.
When that litigation was ongoing, I was a private citizen, still representing
the
president.
I want to skip ahead to the later part of this. Supposedly, they get into a pretty heated argument at the end of this thing.
It's in the plain language of your agreement. Did you write this language?
You have to use the facts, though.
He hasn't filed taxes yet.
So when he files taxes, there's no protection based upon this agreement.
Did you write this language?
Did I type it up myself?
Did you write this language?
No.
Yeah, I did.
But you put your name to it.
I did.
So who wrote this?
I don't know the person that actually typed it. I don't know who it is.
Was it one of the president's lawyers, or was it someone from the Justice Department or IRS?
This document would have been somebody within the Department of Justice.
But you have no idea who that is.
I don't know the name of the person that typed
it
up.
And did you debate with them the statute of limitations, which clearly would preclude the president's claim, this $10 billion lawsuit?
We had extensive discussions internally about the discussion around
said that these defenses we're not going to accept. We're just going to.
I'm just tired of listening to this guy. I can't listen to him anymore. Fetterman, I guess, is in the news again. He's talking about he's drawing a red line. Fetterman's getting very close to leaving the Democrat Party. They're going to lose that guy. First of all, they're the ones who are kicking him out, more or less. But they're also at the same time he's not interested in staying with them. He's just had it with them. What he needs to do is become an independent and then caucus with the Republicans is what he needs to do, just like Bernie Sanders did with the Democrats. Bernie Sanders is not a Democrat, by the way. He's independent because he's a socialist. Democratic socialist America, by the way, there's some very interesting stuff out there on them. And they're bringing this stuff up again about what's happening with the Democratic Socialist, the DSA, as it's called. They're like the dodo bird that goes in and lays its egg in a nest kind of thing. They're doing that whole thing again. And it's very good stuff. Very true. The Democrat Party is basically being lost because they're giving in. They've given in too long. And you don't have any leadership there now. Nancy Pelosi is mad about it, by the way. She came out recently and she was being interviewed on a platform somewhere. And she was all upset about what's going on with the Democrat Party and how they're not standing up to the radical left. Radical left is taking over. Now, Hakeem Jeffries isn't doing nothing about it because he's too weak. He doesn't have any political clout whatsoever, so he's not doing anything about it. And they're just taking over. They're going in and taking all these smaller races in places where they're able to win smaller elections and peripheral stuff, which gives them a foothold in some ways, just like this Mamdani thing with everything he's doing. And the idea of a democratic socialism, it sounds very, soft and warm. It's a very heavy-handed glove. It's the iron glove in the velvet, or it's the iron fist in the velvet glove that we all know is socialism. It looks nice on the outside, feels nice until you realize there's not a compassionate hand in there. It's a fist, basically. It's going to pound you to death. So that's what's happening with all that stuff. I think that's all we got today for anyway, I just have this to say.
What's wrong with you people?
That's about it. In the meantime, let's just play this and see what happens.
It's the news, it's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news, it's the news. According to me, it's the news,
it's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news. It's the news,
it's the news, yeah.
According to me, it's the news,
it's the news.
According to me, it's the news. to me.
All right, so there you go. Got all that going on. We have, I don't know. How do we get out of this show typically? We got to push that button, I think, pretty much. All right, so we have some things coming up for tomorrow. Tomorrow's fiduciary financial Friday. We're going to be talking about some financial stuff. I'm not a financial counselor, but we're just going to have some things. I might do the old podcast within a podcast thing. We have, there's a particular channel I listen to quite a bit. What I like to do is put it into Notebook LM, and it generates this little podcast. That way I'm not using the guy's video. I'm just using the information the guy provides in the video to make my own little podcast within a podcast type thing. We're going to try that a little bit. We'll see how it works out. I think he's got some information in there. It's kind of interesting. Stuff that's going on between, what's happening in America with in general with the average person out there and the amount of money they have saved and then the amount of money that they have, how people are doing financially with regard to savings and all those kinds of things. It's kind of crazy where we are with some of those things because people are not in very good shape. Anyway, God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day, and I will see you.